Are you by any chance going to Comic-Con this year, by the way?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Hey, do you want to come?
I can't. I'd love to go to Comic-Con, but I can't go with you.
Why?
Would that be like going to Disneyland with Mickey Mouse? I can't go with you to Comic-Con. It's like, if I go with you, no, but I'll get trampled in the rush.
Going with
you? Oh, Zed, could you sign this? I can...
It's really funny the way that happens. They very often give me some security people.
Yeah.
Guys who wear red T-shirts and it says security. I get about six of them to march me through so that nobody will bother me.
Right.
But what happens, it's like a parade. People see them and they come over. If they just leave me alone, I could walk by nicely. Just, you couldn't, though, you see, because you'd attract attention.
No.
Because you're funny looking.
No, I don't.
They think you're in costume. You know, they think
you're... Oh, yeah, because there's no funny looking people at Comic Cons.
You're traveling into another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A wondrous world where the boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Action Room. Do you remember what that is, Producer Mike?
Twilight Zone. In
yes.
fact, did you ever see the Twilight Zone movie?
I did, but I haven't seen it since it was on HBO in like 1982.
The opening is Albert Brooks and Dan Aykroyd driving in a car.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Albert Brooke,
do you want to see something really scary?
He keeps saying that, and then that is the coolest opening for a movie. And they're also singing a song, like getting the song, but that's such a cool.
But did
film.
They do that Twilight Zone intro in the movie?
I think they did. They had to. Yeah, yeah.
Just Rod Serling, I have such great admiration for him. He's a man ahead of his time.
It's also weird how things have changed because like now you know they did that movie, but they never did a sequel. If they would have done, if they're going to do a reboot of Twilight Zone, there's going to be a sequel upon sequel sequel. But,
I was talking about this recently with someone. I think one of the reasons they didn't do a sequel was because that guy died.
Oh,
Vic
that's
Morrow.
Right. Vic Morrow died.
And John Landis directed that.
Yeah.
I just want to mention as a shout out, there's a supporter of ours on Twitter, and it's funny, his username is Dimension of Mind.
Okay.
And I was like, great Twilight Zone reference. And he said, you are the first person in 2 years who got what he was referencing.
Cool.
Well, so Dimension of Mind, we love you.
You're Mr. Reference. So, all right. Well, the only news item before we...
By the way, we should identify ourselves. Last show, we didn't even identify ourselves. So for those of you who are first-time listeners, I'm Tony Wolf.
And I'm Producer Mike.
And we are The Action Room. Of course, we are Geek Radio. We are the pop culture podcast. And we've got new shows every Monday and Friday mornings. We've got a Facebook fan page you can join us on, and you can follow us on Twitter.
And
follow our shiznit.
We are definitely the only geek podcast that we do.
Yes. We're the only one for you.
Okay, so the one thing I guess... Oh, and later on the show is Kimberly Cox, who is our fourth contestant in our never-ending I Want to Be the Action Room's Geeky Female Co-Host Contest.
Yes, indeed.
And now people will like this, so this is kind of an interesting fact about her. She is Frank Miller's girlfriend.
Yes.
And do you want to just explain real quick for the two people who are listening who don't know who Frank Miller
is? Yes. Well, Kimberly Cox is Frank Miller's partner in crime. Now, you may know Frank Miller. This is like the Phil Hartman on The Simpsons. You may know me from such films as... Frank Miller is a legendary writer/artist of comic books and graphic novels. He was on Daredevil. He wrote and drew Batman The Dark Knight Returns. He wrote and drew 300. He wrote and drew Sin City. And he co-directed the very successful Sin City movie with Robert Rodriguez. He also single-handedly directed the movie The Spirit.
Yeah.
So, and Frank Miller, he's got a new project now, which is a prequel to 300, that it'll be a graphic novel and perhaps a film down the line. And he's a cool guy, and he's a New Yorker. He lives right here in the city.
As far as names, I would say he's right under Stan Lee. I mean, as far as who the general public
knows. The true legends that the public will know.
Yeah.
And we met Kimberly Cox recently. We Twittered her. We got connected with her. We're very happy that she is going to be on the show.
And speaking of Stan Lee also, did you catch him on Craig Ferguson the other night?
I heard he was on. How was that?
It was really funny. It was basically just Stan Lee attacking Craig Ferguson for not having him on enough. And, you know, he was just really... And now how old is Stan Lee? Is he like...
He's like 87.
That's crazy. What is all these 80-year-old
people... Betty White is so witty, and she's like 84. Stan Lee has not lost any of his wit, and he's 87.
Who would have thought? But anyway, the other thing that I wanted to mention before we get started with the show is that Devo...
Yes.
Who epitomize geek, basically.
The weird, yes.
Have come out with a new album in 20 years. And the sad thing is not so much...
Have not come out with a new album.
Yeah, they came out with a new album. This is the first one in 20 years?
Right.
Is that... Okay.
Yeah.
Did I not say it right? Well, the thing that's scary is... I mean, it's kind of cool. It's like, wow, not for 20 years. The thing that's scary is that their last album was 1990, and the fact that 1990 was 20 years ago. That's
yes.
the scariest
wow.
thing.
Let's take a moment. But what's funny is I've heard some of my friends who are actually much younger than I talking about this. This was eagerly anticipated because the marketing was so clever.
Which
they
was?
They really managed to hook... I don't even remember what it was, because this album was pushed back. It was supposed
right.
to come out last year. They did tons of marketing. They got all the 25, 27-year-olds hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then the album got delayed 8 months.
Well,
I don't even remember what this marketing was that was so brilliant that got them
worked.
All interested.
If anything works. I mean, I could see them being on the internet a lot because
yeah.
of the whole, you know.
Oh,
they were probably into computers way before anybody
Have
was.
We heard any of the tracks?
Well, here's the thing. Something for Everybody is the name of the album.
Yes.
They were on Letterman the other night, and I liked it. I thought it was really very Devo-esque.
They
you know,
wore the hats?
Yeah. Well, no, they wore these kind of masks with, like, hairline kind of... I don't know what kind of a crew cutty look, but it was a gray mask. It was very odd, and it was
you know
perfect.
What they are? They are the male dorky Lady Gagas.
Basically, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good timing for them.
They kind of took from Kraftwerk, which was the band before them. Kraftwerk was okay. the electronic band that...
I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it is.
Early rap sampled a lot from, like African Bambaataa and stuff like that. But
okay.
then Devo soon came after that, because Kraftwerk's from Germany, and it's that Sprockets kind of stuff.
Mm.
And then Devo took from that. But anyway, the other thing that I thought was funny is the cover of the album depicts a sexy girl eating a blue energy dome.
Which are their hats.
Which I didn't know that's what they were called, were energy domes. That's funny. Like, what is that supposed to be about, like, nuclear energy or something? Like
no,
that?
I had a vague memory that they did have an official name for their weird Devo hats, and I Wikipedia'd it today. And that's just the name they decided to
energy
name
dome.
Them because it sounds geeky sci-fi,
right.
you know, whatever.
Well, it seems like some kind of, like, a nuclear reactor kind of, like...
Well, they said they
dome.
Wanted to base it like a ziggurat, you know, like a pyramid from Egypt or or Mexican ziggurat pyramid.
Just a red version.
And they said they wanted it to be very architectural looking.
Right. And it does.
Mm. And also look like a nuclear reactor.
Right. Okay.
I was going to throw that in there.
So, anyway, so let's take the break.
We'll take a break. We'll give you some awesome tunes.
And when Devo from the new album.
Awesome. I'm ready.
And when we come back,
we'll have Kimberly Cox. All right, action fans, you're back in the action room. We are back in the action room with our next, I believe our fourth contestant in the I Want to Be the Action Room's Geeky Female Co-Host Contest.
Woo!
And she's witnessed the power of our studio audience. Ladies and gentlemen, we have here Kimberly Cox.
Woo! Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you in the action room. Now, Kimberly, you are AKA on Twitter... Your Twitter handle is AGidgetWidget, is that correct?
AGidgetWidget, that is correct.
Is there a story behind a Gidget Widget?
I came up with it, I think like 10 years ago.
Mm.
I just liked the sound of it. Somebody called me Gidget, and then I stuck with Widget.
Right. They felt you were like the Sally Field, is it Sally Field?
No, I don't know who was Gidget.
Who was, no, Gidget was Annette Funicello in like the Elvis movies?
I don't know.
Who was
some
Gidget?
It's somebody like that.
It's like a 1950s.
Annette was somebody, though. Who is Annette? She was
a Mouseketeer, and then she did all the Beach Party movies.
The Beach Party movies. Okay, that's
right.
What
I think that's where she was Gidget. I don't know. Write in, Action Fans. That? Help us talk about this. We'll IMDb that shit later.
Our geek knowledge doesn't go that far back.
Yes. So. It doesn't need to.
So what sort of geeky interests have you had all your life, Kimberly?
Well, let's see. I love history. I love the classics. Mm-hmm. I started in theater and have continued with it.
Because you're an actress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm an actress and a singer and a writer and all that good stuff.
Oh, I didn't know you sang too.
Yeah. Everybody seems to start in musical theater, doesn't it?
Right,
I mean,
yes. So outside of the theater and being a kind of a history geek world, what would you say? Are you into sci-fi? Are you into graphic novels?
I'm really into sci-fi, but I guess, you know, the funny thing is I can't help but be really into graphic novels because Frank Miller is my boyfriend. So.
All right, there you go.
Now, we didn't talk about that yet. You'd like to be called your real name, not Frank Miller's girlfriend, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Did you find that out from Rich Johnston? Because I told him, don't you ever do that.
Well, he started.
Now, let's
how
explain,
do you know him?
Let's explain Rich Johnston.
Okay. I'm a huge fan of Rich Johnston. I've followed his stuff literally for like 6 or 7 years. He runs a comics and pop culture, I want to say gossip column, which has evolved into like journalism.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's a great site. He has a great sense of humor. I met him once at Comic-Con. And I've noticed long before first we just knew you as Gidget Widget. And I saw your blog. I didn't really see your name. Then I saw him start to mention randomly, like every 4 weeks, Kimberly Cox, whose boyfriend is, right? He found out a way to phrase it that was like inversion.
It was a great title. It was terrible because I feel bad for doing this, but there was a terrible title.
Oh, go ahead.
I feel bad for doing it. There was a comic book that came out from IDW that had to do with Shakespeare that he asked me to review.
Kill Shakespeare?
Yeah, it was Kill Shakespeare. And, so I sent him a very blunt and honest review of it that he published. And the headline was, Frank Miller's Girlfriend Hates Kill Shakespeare, or something like that, or eviscerates it.
And I'm sure some super nerds read that as, Frank Miller's Girlfriend Hates Shakespeare.
And his site, did you mention, is Bleeding Cool?
Bleedingcool.com. Yeah. It's undergone many iterations through the years. It was All the Rage, then it was Silver Bullets, then it was Lying in the Gutters. Now it is bleedingcool.com.
It's such a great title for
site,
don't you think? Bleeding Cool.
Well, I'm glad you had mentioned that, because that was actually on my list of questions to ask you. Like, what's the deal with Rich Johnston?
Yeah, no.
Have you met him a bunch of times? Or?
We have never met, actually. Right. And it's one of those things where I guess I've known of him because of his work in the comics news.
Right, right.
And the genre websites. But, we started chatting randomly, like, over Gmail, and then he asked me to write for the site, and...
No, I think meeting is destined to happen next.
Now,
maybe in San Diego. Who knows?
Oh, yeah?
Speaking of meeting, how did you meet Frank? And how did that romance start?
Oh, God. That's a funny story. it was interesting. I was working at MTV at the time. And
doing what sort of stuff?
It was in ad sales, actually, interestingly enough. And previously, I'd worked for Fox News. And I worked for the Fox News Channel for a year during the election in 2004. So,
doing sales for them as well?
No. Launching the radio network.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Yeah. It was connected to Sirius, or
I worked at Sirius before that. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, so it's hard to find a good place to go and have a beer after work, right?
Okay.
You know, in Midtown, it's tough. It's hard. So I found a spot. It's where a lot of my friends would go, and I was just sitting talking to a friend of mine there. And
now wait. Before we go on, was this place the same place that Tony bumped into Frank Miller years ago?
Is it a place called? Maybe we should bleep this out. Is
no. Go ahead.
Is it a place called Deacon Brody's?
Because
I had a close encounter with Frank Miller at an empty Deacon Brody's. I pretended I didn't know who he was, and he engaged me in conversation. He was ranting about, don't you think Tom Cruise is the best action star ever? And it was
you gotta be kidding. Oh
yeah, and I told him my honest thoughts. I totally, this was like 2 years before Sin City. I pretended I didn't know you. I was waiting for a date, and the bar was empty. It was the bartender, me, Frank Miller, and I'm waiting for my date.
Was it Liam? Was it Liam?
I think so.
Yeah,
I don't know. But and I was like, well, Frank, I didn't say Frank. I said, Tom Cruise, he's not the best actor in the world, but he is a very good action star, yes. But Frank was just so adamant about making this point, as I imagine he is intense about
what
many
things. What does he think about Tom with the Les Grossman years that are coming up, the characters?
The comedy Tom Cruise.
I don't know.
Okay. But
anyway so
you were at this
bar. Talking to a friend
which
of mine.
Happens to be his hangout, but you didn't know that at the
and
time.
Happened to be my hangout too. We just were never there at the same time.
Okay.
I was getting ready to leave and this guy in a trench coat walked in.
A mysterious trench coat.
And my friend literally scooted over one and let him sit down next to me. And right. I was like, okay, who is this guy?
Wow.
You know, I had no idea who
he was.
Did
the friend know, or she just...
No, my friend knew. He knew.
Okay. Right.
And so we started talking, and, you know, I said, I know this is a trite question, but what do you do? And he goes, I'm in entertainment.
I love it.
And I was like, no, seriously, what do you really do? And he said, well, I write and draw comic books. And I said, I'm not really... I just know Tintin and Calvin and Hobbes, so anything I would know. And he said, I just did Sin City.
Ooh,
I was like, fuck you!
this is the comic Sin City. Before.
No, the movie. This is the movie.
Oh, this is after the film had
this
come out.
This is after the film had come
Interesting.
Out.
Interesting.
Okay. Okay.
And,
so what year are we talking? This is...
Oh, Sin City is like 03 or 04?
No,
it's no,
that
far.
No, it's
05.
Okay, yeah, I'm just guesstimating off the top of my head.
Yeah, so this was a year, 2 years later or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
Wow, okay.
Anyway, so I told him to fuck off, and he said...
He liked that.
Yeah, he did.
You
he
got
did.
Spunk.
Yeah. And he said, I have nothing to prove to you. And I said, okay, fine.
And he kind of didn't, I guess.
And we just started talking, and I was like, this
That's
guy's
cool.
really, really interesting.
Right.
And,
now, would this work with other guys, or Frank had something special?
Can we try that? Or we're just, you know.
Yeah,
Frank definitely has something special.
So. I mean, you haven't told many guys to fuck off, right? This was...
I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Like, it depends on the tone. With
yeah, that was
which
a good
you
fuck
tell
off.
Them.
That
yeah.
was a nice fuck.
Yes, it was
yeah.
a playful.
Okay.
He said it was a New York fuck off. Fuck.
True. Right.
What was the story that never came out? Maybe you
oh,
have an inside.
Oh, the Batman, Holy Terror, the
oh,
Al Qaeda thing.
Yeah.
I'm one of the thousands and millions of fans, I'm sure, who are like, why did that get shelved?
Well, think about it.
Well,
I mean,
explain it a little bit. Just
okay.
To
so Frank Miller, this is what I know as a reader of the comic press. He wanted to do a very simple concept Batman graphic novel called Batman Holy Terror, or an earlier iteration was Holy Terror Batman.
Yeah.
And what it would be Batman versus a bunch of Al-Qaeda guys kicking ass. And I thought, you know, and there was some controversy, well, how could you do that, or sort of a reverse PC backlash. But I thought, there's one of the most successful television shows in the world called 24, and it's Jack Bauer kicking terrorist ass, and like, what's the problem with that? And Miller himself made the point, you know, in the 40s, Superman punched out Hitler. Like,
right.
What's the problem with that? You can call it propaganda, but it's propaganda against, you know, people who are trying to murder us. Miller himself never said that all Muslims are terrorists. He never made these sweeping generalizations. He's just talking about the reality of the situation. And I'm more of a left-leaning person, and I thought, I want to see Batman kick terrorists' ass. What is the problem? So that's, and he recently made a statement about it, just saying it. He did 60 pages, but it's done. He's not doing it. So that's what I know. So what's the problem? Kimberly, what is the problem?
Well, because he hasn't come out and told anybody officially the status of the project. But think about it. You know, he was doing he went right out of 300 into doing The Spirit and also still doing All-Star Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, his time was gobbled up by that stuff. So he had to put that aside for a while. But he's still doing it, and it's new
So it's just he wants to focus on something non-Batman for a while, which is his new project,
Well,
Xerxes.
He decided... his new project, yeah, he's working on them both at the same time.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know, so, you know, but Holy Terror hopefully will be coming out soon. So fans who are waiting for it, you know.
I mean, was there really that... I read some of that backlash, but, I mean, what's the problem with Batman?
So there wasn't really any controversy? Like, he
there's always controversy over his stuff. You know,
but nobody told him he can't come out with it.
No, nobody told him.
It's not like Time Warner or Warner Brothers was like,
no, he decided. He actually made the choice that he wanted to do a new superhero.
Oh,
okay.
So that's why it's no longer Batman.
Okay.
Oh,
but it's Xerxes or it's something else?
Well, Xerxes is a separate graphic novel.
Right.
So.
But I mean, there's another superhero coming out that he's going to create?
Yeah, that he's creating that is actually like Holy Terror. You
so it's not Batman now?
It's not Batman.
But he will do the project.
Yeah, it's
but
actually...
But it's not Batman.
I guess.
Secretly, it's actually all penciled out. So.
Okay, very cool.
Okay. That is cool.
Now, what's new in the world of Kimberly Cox? What sort of projects do you occupy yourself with? What are you... You have your hand in different pies.
Yeah, I do. And it's... I've got a play that hopefully will be staged in the fall here
Which
in the city.
Which you've written or you're
That
in?
I wrote. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
So we're
what's
working
it about?
On developing
what
kind that. Of? It's about...
If you can talk.
It's an absurdist take on what can happen to somebody when they get caught up in a situation that is, for example, having an affair with somebody that is someone they shouldn't, and how that sort of traps you in a fantasy world.
Wait, are there people you should have affairs with?
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Oh, really?
But affair is implying that they're in relationships.
They
or,
get involved with something that is toxic, that's bad,
right,
basically, you know, the risky nature of it, and basically what can happen to somebody internally.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
That's cool.
And you know, when will that be hitting the?
Oh God! Hopefully in the fall. I don't know. We don't have a schedule laid in yet for
okay.
it. So
that's
we're doing
awesome,
a reading in August up in the Berkshires.
Okay. Any other projects you want to plug or anything?
Well, I'm writing a graphic novel. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Okay. Yeah.
And who do you have drawing?
Do you have an artist collaborator, or do you draw yourself?
Not yet. I have to do the full story, but I'm talking to some folks about it.
You have your treatment in place.
I have my treatment in place.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to take a break. Go to the nerd.
And will you join us for the nerd news?
I would love to
for our news segment. Okay.
That's
thank you so much, Kimberly Cox. And
thank
we'll be,
you.
We'll be right back. Other podcasts have news. But only the Action Room has the
Nerd News.
Okay, Action fans, we are back, joined by Kimberly Cox. Thank you so much for joining us for the Nerd News, Kimberly.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
All right. And
it's a big Nerd News episode.
You know, last episode we didn't really do any news. We did this crazy thing that took over the show, and now we have lots of news items again.
Yeah, no, I think we had to get back to doing sketches and stuff for a little bit. Get that out of our. You know, we do a lot of characters and stuff on the radio,
little
but
bits.
We hadn't done it for a while, so.
Sweet.
So now we got back. But
all right. So
the
sadly,
first thing,
sadly,
is
it seems like so much of the summer and the spring, we started off our news items with a death in the celebrity world or the entertainment world. Here we have a death in the comic book and illustration world. Al Williamson passed away just a few days ago.
Now, I knew his name, and I knew his stuff, but you reminded me exactly what he did. Now,
right.
What
I mean,
did he...
I knew him. He was an incredible illustrator, very much in the fashion of, like, old 50s black and white line art, ink work. He drew Flash Gordon back in probably the 60s. He was a contemporary of people like Wally Wood.
Right. But you're saying he did the Star Wars stuff,
well, yeah,
too?
Exactly.
And Blade Runner.
Say, he drew Star Wars for Marvel back in the late 70s, early 80s. He also illustrated, I believe, the Star Wars daily strip that was in certain papers.
Okay.
He drew the Blade Runner adaptation for Marvel, which I bought when I was in, like, junior high school.
That's pretty awesome.
And the art was just so amazing. It's very respected and revered by illustrators. Did you ever have any Al Williamson interest, or did you ever meet the guy,
no,
Kimberly?
No.
Okay,
but at least she knows about him now because he's dead.
Sometimes it's good
when people die, so people are aware of who they are.
I didn't know who Dio was until he died.
Right, right.
You know, the heavy metal dude.
All right, so what happened in the news? The big event was E3 at 2000, the 2010 E3. Obviously, it's 2010.
Now, are they all called E3, or next year is it called E4?
No, I think they're all E3, right?
Why is it E3?
I don't understand. Maybe I think it stands. This is so. By the way, listeners, for those of you who don't know what E3 is, it's a big major tech and electronics conference,
the Electronic Entertainment Expo. But
I figured it was some
Triple
E.
Triple E. Yeah, there you go. So now, a few things that came out that were interesting was the Nintendo 3DS, which was kind of the 3D Nintendo system, little portable thing that you don't need glasses to see in 3D.
Oh,
so,
okay, wait a minute. As much as everything is becoming 3D now, and we've had a lot of passionate conversations on this show,
which we will
about
get into,
which we will have another one of, I think, is coming in about 35 seconds. How can you make something 3D without glasses? I have been waiting for this. I'm not Mr. 3D myself, but I've always wondered, how can they scientifically make 3D without glasses?
Yeah, I don't know. It must be something.
The Nintendo 3DS claims to do that for
some
us.
Kind of. Remember, you could take Polaroids in 3D.
What?
No, you remember this?
No.
You could, there
what?
Was a, there was a camera you could take 3D pictures with.
Would it look like a ViewMaster?
Actually, it might have.
Yeah, right. No, totally.
No, it had like a few different lenses on it and stuff, and it might have not been a Polaroid, but it was something that you would develop.
An image,
and it was
on paper.
But it was in 3D, so it must be some layered effect that you can see within the game system or something like that. It's probably not the same kind of 3D as what
Weird.
We see on TV
and I guess
movies.
We can't see a demonstration of the Nintendo 3DS on like a YouTube video or a sample video on the internet because that's the internet.
Right.
You have to
Very
see
good,
it in
Tony.
Person. Well, I'm saying that.
Wait,
saying
you
that
just, you you have to actually be seeing things in 3D
to see them in 3D.
Well, I'm not saying that to state the obvious. I'm saying it to say that I'll believe it when I see it in person.
So it might be a lie. Well, the other thing was there were
it's
other
a hoax.
There was another thing that I guess you had mentioned, a Kinect, which was a new Microsoft thingy.
This is this thing. I don't know if you heard about this. It's funny because the Twitter feed was just streaming with I'm at E3 and this happened. I'm at E3 and that happened. There's a Death Star, did you say?
No. I think what did you say?
Kinect, I don't know. I don't understand what it is. I mean, I'm not from the gaming world. I don't understand the gaming
world. We're not that into it.
It's apparently, it's some sort of Xbox attachment, maybe, that allows you to have chats and...
I like how we're completely guessing at what this is.
No, maybe what it is. It's a Sony PS3, but designed by Microsoft.
Nice. Mm.
Oh, you know what? It has a camera built in. It has a webcam.
Or maybe
built
we're
in.
Just making up new technology.
Maybe we're just making up whatever the hell came out of
The one thing E3. I thought that was really cool, and I was going to explain this as much as I know of it, is do you understand the term cloud?
Cloud gaming?
Well, cloud gaming is just one form of it, but cloud.
Cloud
networking or something. Basically, the concept that in the future, the way things are going with computers is that you won't need programs yourself. You won't need to buy these things yourself. That everything will be uploaded into this cloud of technology, this company that will own everything. So,
we are so doomed.
Well, here's
so you'll
the thing.
Just grab it out of the air.
Here's the thing. To give you an example,
isn't that the same thing as buying something on iTunes? Is that cloud?
Well, no, but you won't even have iTunes. You will get the music from like a server of sorts, like that will have everything.
So how do they charge you money for it?
Well, I don't know the specifics, but OnLive is the company.
Subscription.
Yeah, probably. OnLive is the company that's doing a
cloud gaming.com.
The first cloud gaming service, which is basically. So, for instance, you don't need a Nintendo or a PlayStation or an Xbox. You can just go online and just download the game and play it. You know what I mean? Mm. So you don't need the console
You don't need
itself.
Like a portal or a console or whatever we
Which
call
in a lot
thing.
Of ways is obviously easier. And this is definitely the way things are going to go for everything soon. But, the only thing that scares me is, like, I'd like to have stuff that's still on my hard drive that isn't in... like some server that I can never, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, the funny thing is that putting all of that stuff out there and not having a hard copy of it or your own personal copy just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like you're risking losing all that information. Or what if like 50 years from now they come back and they say, actually, no, we own your life.
Exactly.
Like what if Google says, no, that you don't have your licensing or copyright for any of your
emails?
There
was a loophole. So. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
what happens if your computer crashes too? I guess they give you...
Well, it's like having an online backup system. I mean,
that's the benefit I guess of it is that if you lose everything, it'll still be there because they own the cloud of all everything.
But,
you know?
Yeah, but remember in Live Free and Die Hard, what happened?
Oh, right. No, I could totally see if they.
Wait, well, for those of me who didn't see Live Free,
it was
Free
basically
and Die
this
Hard.
Concept of the world coming, you know, technology
terrorist attack on using our technology against us. Mm.
And so it's a big, I guess, virus or whatever that shuts down all of technology. Basically,
okay,
which
like
runs everything. You know?
Yeah, cyber attack.
So yeah, if they get into this cloud and they infect it, everybody's screwed, which is kind of what's happening for sites when Twitter goes down or anything like this. So just imagine your whole life going down because of this cloud. But,
is this like the Galactus cloud at the end of the second bad Fantastic Four movie?
I guess so.
I just had to make that cloud reference. But.
No, but
right, we'll
I,
see about this cloud stuff.
Well, it's
I don't know. The 3D, I don't know. I'll see if it's real.
It's just happening
too fast. Take
your
life and put it in the cloud, and everything will be fine.
Well, I have to say, even as a filmmaker, the idea that you don't use, a lot of times with the cameras and stuff, you don't use tapes anymore. It's all digital
it's just
cards.
On the thing, yeah.
Yeah, you just do the footage, and it goes right onto a hard drive, which for me is kind of odd because, if something crashes, you lose everything. Mm. You don't have that hard copy tape, but that's kind of the way the world's going.
We're keeping an eye on you, Cloud.
All
right, so also in the nerd news...
Oh, speaking of 3D, we were talking about before, Chris Nolan.
Oh, so, right, yes. I thought you were going to take us somewhere else. Quote, so Christopher Nolan,
the Batman
director, writer-director of the very successful Batman films, and so many other things, the Inception film that's about to come out, he made a public statement saying, basically, I'm making Batman 3, I'm not a huge fan of 3D, for all these various reasons, which we'll discuss... But if the studios sort of hold me hostage and say, yes, but you have to give us what we want because we're the production studios and you must give us Batman 3 in 3D. Basically, he, like Jon Favreau, had the guts, as we were saying, to come out and speak against 3D.
Yeah, but I want to know how John Favreau was able to pull it off. I mean, he didn't have to do Iron Man 2 in 3D. How did that happen?
He also had a small window of time to put together Iron Man 2, and I think he was halfway done with Iron Man 2, production-wise, shooting-wise, when the 3D wave and this impulse, this pressure started to hit.
So was Louis Leterrier with Clash of the Titans. But Warner's told him he had to make it 3D. So I think Chris Nolan came out and said this simply because he saw what happened with Clash of the Titans and with Louis Leterrier. Right.
Well, Favreau had the clout to be like, no, I don't want a rapid, clumsy conversion like Louis Leterrier, who doesn't have nearly as much clout, probably had to cave.
But also the other thing about Clash of the Titans was when it came out, I don't think it was intended to be 3D.
No, he shot it in 2D, and then the studio told him to convert it.
Right. But the thing, the situation with, I think, Chris Nolan and even Michael Bay, if you remember, he didn't want to do Transformers 3 in 3D either, is that because technically...
One of the few times we agreed with Michael Bay.
Oh, my God!
But he will be doing Transformers 3 in 3D, so will Chris Nolan with Batman 3, and unfortunately, I think we're at a point now where it's inescapable. If you're going to make a huge studio film, you have to do it in 3D now.
But at least there should be two versions, right?
Well, here's the
problem. I'm trying to think of a good example. Alice in Wonderland was available in 2 or 3D.
No, they should be available in both. They'll always be available in both because there's not enough screens to hold those big blockbusters all in 3D. But the problem is not so much in 3D. It's the fact that they're being shot a different way.
Right.
Like Avatar and certain things. I don't know if you know this, but the whole idea about 3D behind it is that your eye can't adjust to a shot that's in 3D unless it's at least a few seconds long.
Correct.
So when things get really choppy, it doesn't work anymore.
Correct.
So these directors are actually going to have to film differently.
It's interesting because we saw U2 3D in Cannes a couple of years ago. And it was my first experience doing it. And afterwards, we walked out and we were talking about how if you're going to do a movie in 3D, you should design the whole story and the whole production
around that
for 3D.
Right.
As opposed to taking something, because not everything would work. It's visually telling a story in a new way. So you're going to have a different structure or formula for the story.
But that's the unfortunate thing. Now, Chris Nolan is now being forced to make a type of movie around a technology that he would have normally not wanted to do, probably.
Right. The question is how long will this fad last? I can't, for instance, when I saw Avatar in 3D, now I don't know if this was because the story was so goddamn awful, but I had to leave. I got dizziness, the next 2 days I had vertigo and migraines, so I don't know.
I mean, with these TVs that are going to be 3D, I don't know how this whole generation is going to survive this thing.
I want to say two quick things. One, the Clash of the Titans conversion, I think, was literally like 3.5 weeks. It was so rushed. I remember it was like, it hit on the 13th of the month, and on the 29th of the previous month, they announced, guess what, it's going to be in 3D!
I sat there going, oh no, I felt so bad for the people doing the
production.
Suddenly,
new posters went up on the subway with 3D slapped on them.
And a fan of history, what do you think of Clash of the Titans 2 that's about to come out?
Well, it depends
there's
on...
There's Clash of the Titans 2.
There's also Immortals, which is being shot right now, which is, I believe...
What is that
it's
about?
Got something to do with the story of Perseus.
Okay.
So, there is so much material in ancient Greek mythology in these stories. I think, actually, the more, the merrier.
Yeah.
If it gets people back to the books, back to reading Aeschylus, reading Euripides, reading Herodotus, reading Thucydides, reading Edith Hamilton, reading, Victor Davis Hanson or Peter Green or Kagan or whatever.
Yeah.
If it gets people back to the books and they can learn for themselves and then create new stories.
And maybe a Wonder Woman movie can seize on that mythology. I say that half facetiously but half seriously.
No, definitely.
It's true. I believe that Wonder Woman is really... on Amazon.
Now, sadly, it won't be books that these people are reading. They're going to be reading iPads. But anyway.
And the one thing I wanted to just mention in closing about 3D that producer Mike had told me months ago, and like the Nintendo 3DS, I didn't know if I fully believed you. You had said that 3D, and Christopher Nolan made this point in his statement, 3D films are noticeably darker, are dimmer, that the colors are less vibrant. And in general, the whole thing has to be a shade or two darker. And you had complained about that a while ago. And he
might
said
also
specifically,
been the glasses, too.
I guess it's either the glasses or the image on screen necessitate that.
And I also think that's a theater issue, too.
If theaters got upgraded, we might.
Well,
not
they
have
don't.
That,
I don't think they project the
at that
light
pixelation,
whatever.
Yeah, light pixelation.
Because I think when now with these TVs, there's so much invested now in 3D with TVs and stuff that they're not gonna stop this anytime soon because they want people to buy all the Blu-ray 3D versions of all these movies
coming
out. Exactly.
So speaking of unnecessary,
so let me just say
filmmaking.
One thing.
Oh yeah.
As just at the point that geek culture hits this stride. We have to hit a technology that's going to ruin it all. That's
what
All right, so I think that's it.
Wow, all right. We made it through all the nerd news.
We made it through. We couldn't have done it without Kimberly. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
It is a real pleasure to have you on the Action Room.
And I don't know, do you want to... You can say our last bit here. Every Friday.
Do you
want to
give our
Facebook
finishing tag?
All right, so new shows every Monday and Friday. Join our Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Next episode Monday, Kim Rogers joins us to review Toy Story 3 and an interview with Richard Gale, the director of, quote, the horribly slow murder with the extremely inefficient weapon.
Have you heard about that film, that trailer?
Dude, you have to see this trailer. It's a 10-minute trailer.
Is that the one with the spoon?
Yes! It's the spoon guy.
Oh, God.
And Hollywood has come a call into that guy, and we've got an exclusive interview with him.
He's a really nice guy.
That's awesome.
I just love that trailer. Anyway.
All right, so thanks for listening, Action fans, and watch Kimberly Cox's goings-on in the coming months, and we'll see you next time.